now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So rugby is cancelled for the foreseeable future, along with pretty much everything else in life. We've learned this week there'll be no end of season for the Championship and every other division below the Premiership. Where does that leave the likes of Newcastle and maybe even Saracens? And clubs are asking players to cut their wages. What will the game look like when it eventually does return? But even though there's no action on the pitch for now, one thing we can look ahead to is the Lions Tour. We'll be putting together a test team to take on South Africa in a year's time. This is The Ruck. I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and joining me, I'm glad to say, from a safe social distance, are Owen Slott and Stephen Jones. Gentlemen, good morning to you both.
So if anyone's listening, which hopefully lots of people are, we're all sitting at home on a remote dial-in, and this is very new for us, isn't it, Jonesy?
Oh, we seem to have lost Jonesy.
Well, while we're waiting, Lawrence, have you got any spare eggs?
Funny enough, I did find some eggs today.
Did you? Well done. That's a major achievement.
I'm a firm believer in these heady times and very worrying times in supporting local producers. So I'm doing my best not to go near supermarkets and try and just support the shops up the road, really. And I went to Ham Parade and they had hundreds of eggs, yeah. Italians tend to be the ones hoarding the eggs, if I'm honest.
Is that right? I never thought of Italians as particular egg hoarders.
Well, to make pasta, you need eggs. So there's no doubt that they, you know, small delis that sell pasta will have hundreds of eggs.
Well, there you are. The things you learn on The Ruck that you hadn't thought of beforehand. go to your Italian for your eggs. I'm gonna do that.
How is life in this new and worrying world that we're living in at the moment?
It's just very strange, isn't it? It's making everyone feel very anxious, and I just kind of hope that things like this podcast can give people something to listen to and maybe feel slightly brighter about. As I say, I've run out of eggs. I'm sure lots of people have got worse problems than that.
And Jonesy, you're at home as well, I take it, and obeying orders.
Yeah, obeying orders and issuing some of my own. It is unbelievably frustrating, but obviously on these occasions, you just think of the people working so hard in the NHS and everybody, you know, crashing together to try and sort things, and all the mothers on Mother's Day, etc., and all the people behaving incredibly sensibly, which is about 99% of the population, I think. A shame about the others, but it is an unbelievably bizarre time. And, you know, just hope there are people, the people who are really struggling, the aged and people with existing conditions and all, let's just hope they all keep safe.
I mean, clearly, one of the things that a lot of people are struggling with is their routine, because it's been completely thrown out of all sync. I mean, my family have never seen so much of me in the last 30 years, let alone in the last 3 days. So... And I'm sure I speak on behalf of the nation when I just say, you know, getting used to being with each other and hanging out is going to take a bit of take a bit of getting used to. And I'm sure there's looking at social media and reading some of the things that have been written, you know, for sportsmen and women around the country who are used to being. You know, having those routines, being active on a daily basis, you know, it's going to cause a lot of anxiety, I would imagine. I mean, not just for sportsmen and women, for everyone, really, just to have that routine thrown out of the window.
However long this goes on for, what's called, in inverted commas, the lockdown, I think if we sort of knew that on August the 1st or at 2:30, we could all stop and go back to normal. But, you know, even that may be an incredible gradual process, and that's too much to ask. So it is the uncertainty. And, I think people get really wound up when they see beaches in Brighton packed full of people. You know, I just don't understand that. So it's a tough one, but it's just a hurdle to be jumped, I think.
Jones, I'd just like to ask you, what's the experience like for the rest of your family living with you full time? I mean, is that a trial, or is that something that competition winners would pay for?
I've not actually asked them, because whenever I go into a room, they all go into a different room in the hope that they're saving themselves. Unbelievable bossiness. If you even give the tiniest cough without having a huge blanket of handkerchief in front of you, they go, cough! And so, and everything like that. And I've been told to wash my... If I wash my hands every time I was told to, my hands would have dissolved by now. So they go on a bit, but I can put it up with it, and I won't get any food if I don't do what they say. So that's all I can do. Really.
And Slotty, we've all got kids, but mine are slightly older than most. I mean, when you've got slightly younger kids, what are they keeping themselves entertained with?
My youngest is 16, and he's got up this morning to sort of go to school in his bedroom. That is sort of go online and follow his online teaching, and at least that's what he says he's doing. I don't know if we're supposed to check, but that's just kind of weird. As you say, this new routine when you're getting up to go to school, which actually means you're getting out of bed and switching on your laptop.
Well, there is one diversion that I found, and that was, I don't know if you know, but I'm sure you do, that World Rugby is showing games in full, classic games in full from, well, not so much the old days, but past times. And they kicked off with the quarterfinal of the 1991 World Cup between France and England in Paris, one of the most fiercest, dirtiest games of all time, after which the French coach accosted the referee, David Bishop. And I tell you what, it was absolutely fascinating because so much has changed. I mean, the scrums took about 5 seconds to form. The lineouts were sort of thrown in straight. The ball was whizzing this way and that, and there's none of this sort of taking it round the corner in endless little tiny mini racks. Obviously, the standards of some things weren't so good because the guys were still amateurs and maybe the fitness wasn't so good. And apparently, before this quarterfinal, they'd all been to Jersey and drunk themselves silly. But it was a fascinating comparison. I can tell you that not everything about the game in those days was inferior to what it is now.
I agree with that. I did watch it actually, and what a fantastic game of rugby, just in terms of the theatre. I'd say that in the modern game, that there'd be a fairly long rap sheet looking at some of the tackles and some of the incidents that took place. I'm pretty sure most of the players found the ball a bit of a distraction, really.
Just one more classic, the lineup was phenomenal. It had Wade Dooley and Paul Ackford. They won almost every lineout. And the way they did it was, there's no lifting then, they just jumped straight across into their opponent with their inside arm and whipped the ball back with their outside arm. And Wade Dooley was absolutely dominant.
Do you think that the line-out was actually ever improved by lifting? Or did lifting become the thing just because it was impossible to police against it?
The idea was to try and make it a bit safer, bizarrely. But, the thought of lifting people, 10 foot in the air, making it safer is... I'm not sure, really. I've noticed actually on social media that Jonesy, yourself, and Stuart have been coming up with some sort of content titles of things to sort of reflect on. Your best 10 captains, your best 10 fly.
Yeah, it's going to be called Top Tens. It's every Sunday, and we kicked off this week with our top 10 captains. Like Barnsley does his top 10, I do mine. It was going to be a bit of fun because then all the people who respond ostensibly are people who get there online, therefore they're Times members, therefore they're going to be really nice to us. Absolutely wrong. We've got a massive savaging from all our readers. People were incensed at some of the stuff we did and all that. But Lawrence,
well, even more than usual.
No one even more than usual.
You know what?
Lawrence will be pleased that I had him really high up there on the great leaders. Barnsley hardly mentioned him. So I've already said to Barnsley, Lawrence is looking for you, Barnes.
It's Mr. and Mrs. Delalio he used to have to worry about, not Lawrence. Yeah. There was one glaring omission that surprised me somewhat from your top 10 captains. And I was just curious why Willie John McBride wasn't on that list.
I suppose now and again, and I'm not saying this in Willie John's case, in my mind, the legend has overtaken the reality. That goes for quite a few players, I think. I did a lot of research for a book once about that tour and spoke to almost all the players. Incidentally, we found a couple of things. First of all, some of the legends didn't quite match up. And secondly, the famous 99 call, we interviewed everyone in that party and we could not find one person who'd ever heard it called. That is serious. We said, how on the 99 call? And I went to Ian McGeeky. Said, well, he said, I think I did hear it. Oh, did I? And then JPR Williams said, oh, no, I'm sure I heard it once. You could not find anyone whatsoever on that tour who once called 99 or heard it called. So I guess
you've just killed off a decade's worth of three decades worth of after dinner speeches in one swift sentence.
I know. I'm sorry about that, but you know, we're trying to find the truth there. I just think sometimes the reality is not as big as the legend.
Gents, I know it's easy to look back, but if we fast forward now, take us a year from here, we would be 3 months from the start of next year's Lions tour. Of course, the first game on Saturday, the 3rd of July, against the DHL Stormers in Cape Town. Can we start to speculate now as to what Warren Gatland's trip might look like and what his tour party might look like?
You know, there's no way that Warren is going to go anywhere other than a power game, surely. I mean, England came second in a power game in the World Cup final. I think that anyone, it's almost like anyone who's less than sort of 6'4" and 24 stone is going to struggle to make it. I think we've got to, if we're picking the team now and it's going to be there in a year's time, it's got to be power-based because they will play with massive power, the home team.
As complicated as people like to make rugby, I think the South Africans, particularly in the World Cup, you know, did demonstrate to the world that actually the set piece is still a huge factor in the game. And you know, size and sheer power has a huge bearing as well. If you're able to manage it correctly, the All Blacks managed to beat them because they shifted the ball only twice, maybe in the game, and were so clinical with the way that they finished those tries. But you know, as you say, they've got so many big men, and that hasn't changed really over many many years. Although, be interested to see Warren Gatland's now, of course, in Waikato in New Zealand. And, you know, whilst the game is about power, the handling, the offloading and the speed and the transition will be part of that as well.
Yeah.
So go on then, who wants to get cracking with a Lions pack?
Okay, well, so my front row is based pretty much on Jonesy's statement about power. It's got to be a power front row. So many would say that Mako Vunipola is the number one loose head in the world, but I would keep him on the bench and I would start with Joe Marler, your superior scrummager. Set piece counts. The Scottish loose head Rory Sutherland was outstanding in the Six Nations, so who knows what'll happen to him in the next 12 months. But at the moment, I'd have Joe Marler as my loose head. I think Jamie George is the standout hooker at this stage still, even if he was slightly quiet during the Six Nations. And if you're looking at tight heads, then I think it's a competition between Tyg Furlong and Kyle Sinclair, and again power wins. Start with Furlong and have Sinclair on for the last 20-25 minutes when if the game opens up a bit. What do you think about that, boys?
Do you know what, Soddy, I don't agree with that. First of all, Joe Marler was unbelievably quiet on his only Lions tour, and some people just do not like and do not thrive in that environment. And I think that Joe is a tremendous character and tremendous player, although his character can spill over. But down there against that lot, I just think you need someone who can like sort of the beast. He can scrummage and also move. And I definitely go for Rory Sutherland because I think he's the forward of the Six Nations. I think he's just completely and utterly, he's got this sort of animal about him. And Mako Vunipola is just a sensation and would thrive on a Lions tour. So those are my two loose heads, and I wouldn't have Joe in that. Also, I think that Hooker, Jamie George, definitely. But don't forget these two Scots guys. I mean, they got two absolutely tremendous hookers. So I think Jamie George will have a battle there.
I don't disagree with any of that. I haven't seen Warren Gatland talk much about the Lions in the last few months, but when he was asked, I think Jamie George was certainly a player that he name-checked in terms of, you know, thinking ahead. You know, and with him being a former hooker himself, Warren Gatland, I think that those two seem to strike a good relationship. I don't think, you know, as much as the Scots are coming through, that the rivals in this position are jumping off the conveyor belt, really, to challenge the likes of the Jamie George. You know, Ken Owens may be a little bit done by then, the age of 35. I don't know. I'm not trying to write him off. And I guess one of the biggest calls for me will be at tight head. Tadhg Furlong is obviously, you know, absolute world class. Although he hasn't necessarily been playing his best rugby over the last 12 months. Neither of a chunk of his teammates really. But he for me is still the standout. Obviously, Carl Sinclair, you know, could potentially run in close, and I think it showed what England missed in South Africa when he had to leave the field so early, even though the Saffas talk about targeting him. So, yeah, I can't see much change to that front row. I think it's pretty solid. But I think if the World Cup final shows us anything, you know, we've got to take this set piece incredibly seriously indeed.
You mentioned bolters right from the back of the field, and there will be some guys. I think up front, as a long shot, I think Rhys Carey of Saracens of Wales will develop into a great player. But to have played in a World Cup semi-final at the age of, I think, 19, suggests he will be. And I just think he has got a great chance of being a bolter, or at least being the fifth or sixth prop in the squad. So that's just one name I'm checking in.
Second row. Now, I mean, clearly the Northern Hemisphere is packed full of wonderful second row options. England alone have always had a galaxy of those types of players. And obviously, you know, we know with the sort of distinction that the great Alan Wynne has led previous Lions tours. But really, gentlemen, I ask this, you know, hand on heart. I mean, Maratoji is in one shirt, I would say, and possibly even with the skipper's armband on as well, given the powerful antidote that might be to Sia Khaleesi's style of captaincy. And then, again, even though he didn't have his best Six Nations, for me, James Ryan is the real leader of this Ireland side for the next 3 or 4 years moving forward. So can you see anyone rivaling those two for a starting berth?
I think the conversation is around Alan Wynne, isn't it? I mean, he's the sort of warrior that you want in those sort of circumstances. But is that the Alan Wynne of a year ago? He's obviously coming to the end of his career, and I don't think he was quite the man in the Six Nations that he was in the Six Nations a year ago when they won a Grand Slam. So as things stand, I would be with you, Lawrence, on Maro, who I think arguably the best player in the world at the moment. I thought he was the player of the Six Nations, and I would go with James Ryan as well. But see what Alan Wynne has left in him, because I mean he wants to captain that Lions tour. I don't think he's going to, particularly after the way he finished the England Wales game. I don't think that endeared him to the broader Lions squad. I'm with you on that, but let's see if there's anything left in the heroic Welshman yet.
I don't think there'll be a selection issue there, because Alan Wynne will know exactly whether he has got enough in the tank or not, and I think he'll either put himself up for selection, in which case he will play, because he'll know himself, and I think it's probably just 6-4 against him being there. It would have been lovely if he was in his peak. But I agree with Lawrence's too, although two more names I would throw in. I think George Cruz has had an excellent season. Just a guaranteed lineup ball. And maybe going back on what I said about big men, but I just think that Devon Toner is a guarantee of lineup ball. He may not be the biggest or the heaviest or the hardest, but I think if you can, a bit like Victor Matfield, who wasn't the biggest either, if you can guarantee lineup ball in a test match, or at least bring someone on to guarantee it. I think it's a it's a possibility. So, but apart from that, Maro Itoje, captain for me, James Ryan. What could be better? George Cruz to push him all the way.
Now, this is always going to be an interesting selection, the back row. And again, you know, a lot will depend on what happens with the tight forwards in front of them. So many good back row players across all the four home unions. You know, the emergence of a Scottish back row again, you know, which we haven't seen for a little while, I would say, in the Lions sense of the word, maybe poses a few questions. A number of players missing, you know, with injury. Toby Faletau not played a huge amount of rugby, but will only be, what is he, 30 years of age, I think, or certainly he's not that old for sure. The likes of Billy Vunipola for large chunks of the last year as well. So, gentlemen, where do we start? Slotty, is it as big a talking point as I'm making out?
Yeah, I mean, when I was writing this down, I end up with about 27 names. I think it's by far the hardest area to pick. I would have loved the two Scottish flankers who you mentioned, Hamish Watson and Jamie Ritchie, but neither of them get into my back three. What to do with Tom Curry and Sam Underhill, who are both outstanding, both separately and even better at times together. But I'd say this: if you can get Cordy Laws playing the way he played for England during the last Six Nations, then I think that is the sort of player you want playing for the Lions in South Africa, going back to what we stipulated at the beginning. So I'm gonna stick him at six. Then I'm not even sure if this all ties together, because who's going to win your ball? But anyway, you need something else. You need some pace. You need some. You need something that's going to scare the South Africans and be different. So I'd have Justin Tipperick as my seven. So I'm not going with Curry or with Underhill, which is controversial. Now the eight is the hardest thing, I think. For me, it's we're slightly going on reputation. We don't know who's going to be fit, but as things stand, there are two outstanding eights in Europe, and that's Billy Vunipola and Taulupe Faletau. And I think you get there this time next year and see who's the best one standing. It's going to be one of the two.
Yeah, agreed. You've got to remember the last Lions tour, what Faletau did there. I mean, you know, he completely obliterated Kieran Reid. I'm slightly anxious about the way Faletau's done this season, because he'd had enough rugby to be a little bit more recognisable as himself. But I think with a closed season pre-season proper training, I think he'll be a massive contender. Also, Billy, let's wish him no more broken arms, chaps, because those two down there will be absolutely sensational and will push each other all the way. So it's going to be between one of those. I think Caelan Doris is a thrusting player from Ireland, but not yet in the standard of those two. I don't think you can play both the England flankers there. I think Courtney Laws would be a great choice on the blind side if he keeps his form. But here's one, Lawrence. Is there any way to build a really massive pack? You stick Itoje at six with either Curry or Underhill, or Hamish Watson and Faletau at eight. Does that make a back row?
I think Itoje has just been so good in his position. And let's be honest, whoever plays in the second row for the Lions is going to have a massive job on their hands, just outmanoeuvring their opposite numbers, let alone thinking about anything else. You know, if they won that battle, that would go a long way towards winning the whole series, quite frankly. So I wouldn't be inclined to leave Itoje. I'd be inclined to leave him there. I agree, and I have changed my view. Courtney Laws' form has been magnificent, and I think it almost gives you the extra line out forward that you need to really challenge South Africa, because you need four jumpers at least against South Africa, and Courtney Laws gives you that. I wouldn't discount someone like Aaron Wainwright coming back into the reckoning at some point. You know, clearly he was thrown into the World Cup and didn't let Wales down. So I wouldn't discount him at six, but I think Courtney Laws is there. I do see a straight shootout between Tom Curry. God willing, he'll play some more rugby at number seven over the next 12 months. Yeah. And and he can go toe-to-toe with Justin Tipperick. I think he's shown in New Zealand that he can mix it with the best back row predators on the planet. And I think the competition will bring out the best in him. Maybe even a fit again, Ellis Jenkins, who knows, could also stake a claim along with the likes of Hamish Watson. But Curry, for me, is one that I think Gatland has already name-checked again, and I think he does like him a lot. And again, for me, I agree with you both, which is worrying. Faletau, even though he has a lack of minutes on the pitch, you know, he's a lightly run horse, if you know what I mean, in terms of using that pilot. He's only 30, and I think he was the man in possession due to Billy getting injured. He started, I think, all three tests in New Zealand, and I think that Gatland will certainly have that credit in the bank. So Doris is one to watch in that position. I do think he'll come through. And I think, you know, Billy obviously has got the pedigree to play there. But, you know, if there were two or three big games between now and the Lions Tour, I'd like to see Billy really stand up and be counted in those games and come through as the number one choice.
Just to retain our normal disagreements, chaps, I think Justin Tipperick will really have to fight hard to get on that plane, because Warren has never been his greatest fan, always picked the bigger man. And I just think there are some environments where even a player of such brilliant talent can be almost rendered anonymous by the sheer power of people around him. And I think you can't run around the Springboks. You've got to take them on. And I got an idea that Underhill and Curry will be, and Watson would be a better trio in Warren's mind.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Right, gents, clearly we know that 9 and 10 are going to take some picking as well, and we're going to need some real guidance on who are the two players that are going to steer the lines around the pitch in South Africa. Is it an obvious choice at 9 and 10, or am I missing something?
I don't think 9's obvious at all, Lawrence. I think 10's pretty clear, but I think 9 is going to be Welsh, but there's a few decent Welshmen, isn't it? Or are you suggesting that Conor Murray is straight back in, because he hasn't had form for over a year?
Well, I think there's no clear front runner. Conor Murray was the incumbent, but will be, what, 32 by the time the tour comes around. Not suggesting that that's old in any way, but certainly the peak of his powers seemed to have been a little while ago. Rhys Webb is someone who may come again. He will have opportunities, but I suppose Thomas Williams is the name on everyone's lips at the minute.
Everyone bar me.
So who is your nine then? I mean, I seriously find that one hard. What about you, Jonesy?
So first of all, I don't think Murray is going to be in the shaker. I think John Cooney will be there. I would have thought would it be the England nine. Would be the Ireland nine next season. And good luck to him, because I think he's got a lot about him, and he's got a chance to launch it. Don't forget they'll take three nines. But I can help the Welsh select this year. They've messed around for the whole season with Rhys Webb, who's a decent player, with Thomas Williams, who's a beautiful touch player. Gareth Davis should have been the Welsh nine for every game they played. He is not a classic, gloriously talented passer, etc., but he is the devil incarnate in terms of his approach. He's a third flanker, and I cannot understand why Wales keep on kicking him out. In the World Cup, remember those interceptions? He was just a force of nature. And away in South Africa, you wouldn't dare go down there without him.
I agree with what Jonesy said on Cooney. I think I would rather he played this whole season for Ireland. You can see why he didn't, but I think Andy Farrell got his choice wrong by sticking with Conor Murray. So I think Cooney has a lot, and give him a whole season in the Six Nations next year, God willing that we can play the thing, I think he could contend. But as things stand, it's going to be Welsh, and Rhys Webb possibly. Gareth Davis is your favourite. Thomas Williams could come through really strong.
If we move over to the playmaker fly half, I mean, I guess the big question is Johnny Sexton, 36, by the time the tour starts, you know, will he, won't he be out of the equation in terms of what's required, on the basis it's a very short tour and you don't need to play that many warm-up games to be part of the test team, if any at all. And it's a big decision for Gatland, isn't it? Because, you know, Farrell or the choice of Farrell would ease place-kicking pressure on anyone as well. It's hard to see or imagine Alliance 15 without Owen Farrell in there somewhere. And I guess the only conundrum that Gatland has is the same one that Eddie Jones has, really. Do you pick him at centre, or do you play him at, you know, from his where he plies his trade at number 10? I'm just fascinated. There's obviously other contenders like Finn Russell and one or two, you know, others that come into the reckoning. But what's your views on the 10 guys and Sexton in particular?
You know, Johnny Sexton is in the same position as Alan Wynne-Jones. You would love to take him if he's on his best form, if he's right on form and he's not shipping injuries and he's playing at his best, you would take Johnny Sexton. At the moment, as I said with Alan Wynne, I think it's slightly odds against because he's not looked happy recently. And 35 is that quite an age to play in the Lions Test Series. So I think that it seems a bit cruel, but it's all up to Johnny Sexton to find his best form and to prove that, you know, he's still got the appetite for it. Owen Farrell is indispensable. I think in terms of where they play him, it's got to be 10 because of the sheer physicality. Finn Russell, if he's back in the fold by then. Dan Biggar has been the outstanding Welsh player this year. The man's physicality, the way he chases his own kicks, has been phenomenal. But I've got a bolter here too. I mean, my choices would be Farrell and Biggar. I have got a bolter. I think Joe Simmons is coming through so rapidly, and he's going to become the next England great fly half. I think Joe Simmons could even enter the fray in the England squad this year and split up the old guard of Ford and Farrell.
I'd love to disagree with Jonesy, but I think for once he's just said it all. Really, I don't think Sexton. All right, Captain Sensitive over in Maidenhead. For once he's got it right. I don't think Sexton will go. Farrell is really indispensable. Biggar would be his backup. I think the intriguing thing is what Warren Gatland would make of Finn Russell. Totally different type of player. The sort of player you suspect that Warren would mistrust. I think that's the interesting one, but yes, certainly Farrell one, Biggar two, and question mark the third.
Yeah, I don't think Warren. I don't think he mistrusts many players. I don't think that's in his vocabulary, really. I wouldn't discount Gareth Anscombe, by the way, just as a bolter as well.
Fair point. He
not played a huge amount of rugby either, and I think Gatland, you know, never really saw the best of him when he was in a Welsh jersey, just because of injury. So let's add him into there. And I suppose, like anything, you know, let's move straight into the midfield, because you know, that is a jigsaw puzzle that largely depends on what happens inside as well, in terms of 10 and 12. Clearly, the great Irish pairing of Henshaw and Ringrose haven't managed to come forward yet in a Lions situation, but both players have got enormous amounts to offer. The likes of Manu Tuilagi is another name that I'll throw in there. He's got this ability to produce his best rugby still, even at the age of only 30. And then, of course, Jonathan Davies. We mustn't forget him, who's 3 years older, but certainly will be there or thereabouts. So if we were suggesting that Owen Farrell might pick up the 12 jersey, he's certainly going to be a contender for me, then maybe one of the Irishmen or Tuilagi, or there are some names that I've missed off there.
I wouldn't have thought they'd go Farrell at 12. They're, obviously, he's an option, Lawrence, but I just think that he's not half as happy playing there as he used to be. But no. Manu Tuilagi would appear, especially on his improved form, to be made for it. Jonathan Davies, if fit, will certainly be there, because he's just got a magnificent record with the Lions. But I've got another Irishman for you. I think Ringrose is a good player, but I think this guy, Chris Farrell, is made for South African conditions. He's quick, but he's absolutely massive, and he's rangy, and I think he's got a great chance of going on that tour. So that's Chris Farrell of Manu Tuilagi, Jonathan Davies, and I just think that the 50-20 law will be in by that time, and I think that'll be good for Henry Slade, because he's got such a good boot. And I think if there is going to be a 12 option, I think it'll be Henry Slade, because he can cover and be the third fly half as well. I think he's a great player.
I think the 12 is clear. If remaining fit and on form, I think that the 12 would just be straightforwardly Manu Tuilagi, and the supreme class of Jonathan Davies at 13 would, I think that's just quite straightforward centre partnership, to be honest with you. Manu and Jonathan Davies. You'd have Henry Slade there also, and you'd have you certainly have Robbie Henshaw as the two backups in those positions. But Manu and Jonathan Davies, I think, are a bit of a class above in that one.
I think Henshaw's struggling for his best form. That's why I've got Chris Farrell. Also, I think they will not be happy with having Manu so close to the action, having to make so many decisions. I think he can play as a 12 wearing the 13 jersey, but I just think in terms of being a ball player or not, I think Manu's got to be outside centre. I really do.
Gents, let's move back to the back three and try and wrap this up relatively quickly. I mean, obviously, I know an enormous amount about wing play, so interesting, isn't it? Here, if you'd have said Josh Adams on the last Lions tour, people would have thought you'd had a spear tackle and been dropped on your head. But you know, I think he's had a meteoric rise, much in the same way as his predecessor Jacob Stockdale did. You know, maybe 18 months before that. So I do think Josh Adams is a name that we can justifiably put down somewhere close to the left wing to start, and Stockdale maybe. One or two others. And if I go right wing, I thought Anthony Watson, again, has been outstanding. I thought he had probably the best World Cup of many England players, even in the performance in the final, which England got thumped, offers that kind of defensive solidity, because they will be tested in the air by the South Africans, and also alongside his ability to sort of sidestep. So I think Anthony Watson for me on the right wing, and I'm going to go Josh Adams on the left.
I think Johnny May will start. I'm not sure whether Liam Williams or Stuart Hogg is my 15, to be honest with you. You don't want to keep Anthony Watson out of the team. I agree with everything you said, Lawrence, on his form, Six Nations and World Cup. I'll throw one name in, which I think Warren Gatland would love to come good. Eddie Jones would have loved him to have come good as well. Is Joe Cockenasinga. He'd be on my wish list. He wouldn't be on my starting list at the moment, because we can't tell where he is. I would actually go with the two English wings of Johnny May and Anthony Watson, and I'd have Liam Williams nudging ahead of Stuart Hogg as my fullback.
Don't forget that the incumbent fullback in Test matches is Anthony Watson, as far as Warren is concerned. I just think that those players will be slightly interchangeable. I think if you say, look, we're going to pick Anthony Watson in the back three, and we're also going to pick Liam Williams, is just... the most majestic catcher of a high ball, and and has got no nerves or self-preservation instincts. I think he's bound to go. I think Warren loves him, and I also think he loves Anthony Watson. Also, I think if you've got those two there, if you played Elliot Daly, who could play in his wing position or his fullback position, then basically you've got everything covered. So in terms of fullbacks, you've got three there who can all play there. And I would certainly consider Watson as a fullback, because with the ball in the air, he's excellent as well.
Just to finish on the fullback, I think that Liam Williams was the man in possession of the jersey, actually. He started all three tests against the All Blacks at fullback. So I think, for me, he's the one that starts in that position. Clearly, a lot of people will be screaming for Elliot Daly and Stuart Hogg, probably even more so in South Africa in terms of their siege gum sort of boot, particularly at altitude. But I think, for me, Williams has got the edge. He is only going to be 30 when the tour to South Africa takes place, which is extraordinary, really. And he is the Lions' starting fullback.
Well, Tom, that's brilliant, wasn't it?
That was good, yeah. Should we send a copy of this rap to Gat so he knows where we're coming from?
My thanks to Owen Slott and to Stephen Jones. We will continue to make the ruck every Monday for as long as we possibly can. Stay safe, everyone. Stay well. And we'll be back next week.
The train is now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, Road Station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.